Amen.
This guy's like awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Did you know like that he is South Central Pennsylvania's premier fisherman? Did you guys know? No, seriously, fish tremble at the mention of Dan Moeller's name.
That's messed up. See what I did, didn't you? Oh my goodness, that's funny. Get out your little. It's a rice wafer. Amen. I got that established. It took me a whole school to get over that, this little thing here. Didn't it, Becky? I was like, well, we're going to receive communion. It's Monday. Hi, Jessalyn. You're awesome. Jesus loves you. He thinks you're great. We're going to receive communion. I want to encourage you. You know, the Bible says as often as you do it. You don't have to wait for a church service. And this can sound offensive to some folks, but I'm in the school and people are hooked up online, and I think everybody will relate and understand. There's some people that believe this becomes the literal body and blood of Jesus, and I think that's incredible that people believe that. I heard Randy Clark once say, I wish I could believe that. He said, that's beautiful. And, yeah, so it's not something to debate over. One thing I do know is it's remembering what he did and accomplished until he comes. That I know. So, I tell people, man, if it's just a contact point of faith to you, you can be getting breakfast out. You could be pouring the Cheerios. You could pull one out of the bowl. It's just a contact point of faith. You pull one out of the bowl and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the body that was broken. You snap the thing. It's just a contact point of faith. You could do that without elements. You could just get up with a Christ consciousness, the gospel finished work consciousness. So this just really points you in that direction. You see what I'm saying? So just steer clear what I'm saying, and then it's just a heart thing. But you could do that wherever you are. There was a season in my life where I received communion every day till it seemed like, you know, that season was passing, and you still do it as often as you do. You're still in that place, but every day till the accomplishment of the body and the blood was to me, to my own heart, to my own life, got really, really big. You follow what I'm saying? And it wasn't just head knowledge, because I was receiving it with him alone when you weren't there. And it's communion. Communion. I was coming into union with the finished work of Christ. I was having fellowship with what he accomplished. So I would, Father, I just thank you. You sent your son. And I would just, it was this. And boom, boom. And I did that every day for a long time. Won't put a time limit on it. I just did it every day for a long time. And the revelation of the body got really, really big. And I remember it being 40, 45 minutes before I ever put it in my mouth. And I thought, man, if I keep doing this, I'm going to have to get up at like 4 in the morning to receive communion, because I got to get into the office. Because it would take me 40, 45 minutes to just put this in my mouth, because it got so big. It was so powerful. And scriptures. And then I'd take the blood, and then it's like you're starting almost all over again, in a sense of another element of the body accomplished something, the blood accomplished something. And it would just bring me into a place of just oneness and unity with him. Another aspect of communion is all that is mine is yours, and all that is yours is mine. You didn't hold anything back. You gave me your whole self. There was nothing you held back. You gave your body, your blood, that I could have life. And if I come after you, I deny myself, pick up my cross and follow. You gave everything. And then there's a committal. There's a place of giving yourself. Water baptism has that same connotation. It's, you always want to throw that in there, because that's a good heart commitment place. Amen? So what do you say we receive communion? You ready? Y'all awake? Y'all good? Okay. Pastor Don and I are. We're early guys. Lori is. Pastor Lori is, because we're taking communion and she likes it. She's like, can we do it Tuesday? You ready? Just get personal right now. I'm gonna lead in a minute, but right now I want you to just take about 30, 40, 50 seconds, a minute, and just thank God for Jesus, for the body. Just begin to reflect on whatever you know about the body right now in your heart. Just hold that and just thank Jesus. He really did come. He was beat. He was bruised. He gave his flesh, surrendered, sacrificed, put himself on the cross, faced and conquered death so you never have to die. He was separated from the Father so you could forever be joined with him. Just think about that. It's amazing. Just thank him right now for the body. If you're online, if you're online, man, get some elements. If you don't have elements close by, right now, if you're online, just begin to reflect on the body of Jesus Christ. Just begin to thank God that he died for you because he loves you, because your life's worth living, because he sees value to your destiny and to your purpose. And you made it possible. One died that all could live. You were the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Your innocence was given and yielded up so that my guilt could be removed away. It's amazing. You raised literally from the dead in this body. You came up with a brand new body. You came up raised from the dead, firstborn from the dead, firstborn among many. And when you raised, I was justified. I was made clean and pure and right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have every right to life because you live. It's good. I hear a lot of whispering out there, a lot of prayer, and just begin to talk and thank him. Get personal about the body. Even if it's two things, one or two things that are real to you that you know he accomplished in his body. See, he was beat beyond description. You couldn't even tell who he was when they were done beating him. He yielded his flesh to the place of being undescribable, unrecognizable. That's amazing. They beat him and beat him. He was marred more than any of the sons of men. You've heard me preach that before. The revelation came to me that when sin got done with Adam and Eve in the garden, they didn't look anything like they were created to be. They lost their appearance. They lost the glory of God. They lost the image of God. Jesus came and was beat beyond recognition and lost his recognizableness, if that's a word, so that we could be restored back to what we looked like in the first place. That's incredible to me. That's the stuff Holy Spirit will teach you and show you when you stop, look, and listen and take time. Because you wonder, why did it have to be so brutal? Because sin was so brutal. And we all died through one man's disobedience, but much more. Much more. See, what Jesus did so crushed sin and the effects of sin. Much more through one man's obedience. We're all made righteous. Father, we just hold this up and we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. We've taken time. We've pondered in our hearts. We've personally thanked you and we've appreciated the sacrifice. Let it grow in revelation and understanding and even in appreciation. Let our eyes and our understanding see what Jesus accomplished more than ever before. And as we enter into this communion time and even this school and as we go on, we just dedicate this time to you and we say, even as you gave all that you are, the best we understand, we give all that we are to know you. And to become more like you, to manifest you by the Spirit of God. So we take this and we thank you that we're in covenant. And all that is yours is ours. And all that is ours is yours. And we thank you for the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Take your little cup. Just thank him for the blood. Most of us know for sure that the blood was shed to forgive us of all sin. Every act of sin ever committed. When you're taking that body, you know, the blood was shed to forgive the act of sin. The body was given to remove the effects of sin. Where does the effects of sin reside? Usually in the body, somewhere in the soul, in the mind, in the flesh. So Jesus was made to be sin, and everything that sin was and brought was put on him so it could be taken off of us. He cursed sin in the flesh by making his son sin on the cross, hanging on a pole, anything hanging on a pole, cursed by God. And sin shall have no dominion over us. You are not under the dominion of sin. Righteousness rules and reigns in our hearts. Amen? And we've been talking about it all week long. So take this blood and thank God you're absolutely forgiven. That sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting, that you are not ruled by yesterday, the past, mistakes, failures. You stand in the presence of God because of the accomplishment and finished work of Jesus Christ. You have a high priest who's passed through the heavens, and you have access to the Father. You can receive His love, His grace, His mercy, His power. You stand righteous because of the blood that was shed. The blood's on the mercy seat in the holy heavenly tabernacle in heaven. And it speaks mercy over your life. You go free. That's amazing. Just thank Him right now. Take 20, 30 seconds. Thank Him for the blood for your own life. Thank God that He loves you. He forgives you. He made you completely clean, completely pure. Thank Him that you're spotless. Thank Him that you're holy and blameless and above reproach. That's blasphemy, brother. No, it's Colossians chapter 1. Thank you for your word, God. Your word was made flesh. You came. You dwelt among us. You manifested who you are and who we're called to be. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood that was shed that made us right. That revealed to us so much that we're learning and growing in. We honor you. We receive the blood right now of Jesus Christ, and we stand clean and righteous because of your goodness and your justice. In Jesus' name. Thanks, God. Thank you, Lord. Is that good or what?
Yeah.
Can I use your table?
Sure.
I didn't take that. Like, you could take that in a church setting, and you could preach that out and stir that up and take that corporately. I took my time. I stayed real kind of low-key, actually, because I want us to learn when we're alone to activate our heart and just get real, you and God. Amen? We're always being led into things and following. And it's just real good to take time. And I don't care if it's quiet. I don't care if it, you know, doesn't seem like I'm not looking at in the school, especially taking communion like that, just for the corporate setting as much as your heart's responding to God at some level. Some people have a more of a capacity to respond at a bigger level than others. Some just have one or two thoughts that are becoming alive to them. You camp there until they live in you, and then another one will grow. Do you see what I'm saying? See, I don't want to know the whole Bible. I don't want to know the Word. I want to become that Word. I want to read that and go, yeah.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? I don't want to just read it so I can quote it, and then at the coffee table, you know, we're out there and we're having a spiritual conversation. I feel like I'm in the conversation because I know what the Bible says. No, I want to become that. I told you last week about the Crossroads Christianity thing and just becoming the Word and not having a fork in the road and a lot of multiple choice and options. And that's one reason we're doing this school, so that we could be rooted and grounded in love and formed in Christ by the Spirit of God, okay? So this is really, really important. Have some things we want to cover today. I'm going to do this real quick. There's a lot of questions always that come up. There's been a handful in the class. There's a lot of people online, so there's a few. I'm not going to answer all the questions online from the classroom setting, but I'm going to do the ones that I feel like have a corporate... corporate blessing too, that we can all get something from it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I this is a good one right here. So I'm just going to hit a couple of these questions real quick. This is from a girl named, this is from Mandy, and she'll know who she is. Mandy, we're going to answer your question the best we can right now, and then we're going to pray for you, kiddo, with all our hearts and expect God to come and do something beautiful. She's understanding this whole identity thing and the whole thing. She said, the thing is, I have diabetes, a lot of symptoms, and it's been for years, for 14 years. And she's only 27. So she said, I hate this disease. And, you know, I'm thinking lifestyle in Christ, but this thing becomes your lifestyle. And I've often heard people say diabetes isn't a disease, it's a lifestyle, because you have to get used to living with it and dealing with it. And there's a reality of what she's saying. And I know a lot of times you can get spiritually in Christian mind and go, no! No, what she's asking is, I've been prayed for, I've been getting up, I want to live in Christ, but I have this thing called diabetes. Now, we're going to pray for Mandy in a moment, but I want to explain this. There's a lot of things like that in people's lives that are sincere and grown in Christ, and they have physical things that are trying to hold them back, or certain mental things, different things. Who knows what I'm saying? It's true. And you can let that identify you easily. You can let what you're going through become who you are, because it's real. It has ramifications to it. It has feelings. It has setbacks. It has hindrances. The key is this, and even sickness, just symptoms and sickness, some people get so identified by it that they feel like, if I'm feeling that, I can't pray for the sick because I'm sick. And that, why? Because you're taking on the identity of that sickness, and now you're disqualified to even move by the Spirit. You're not seeing yourself for the Spirit. You're seeing yourself for what you're going through. So you're disqualifying yourself from even praying for the sick. I tell people the greatest thing you can do, one of the most exciting things you can do, is go pray for the sick if you're not feeling that good. And you've been pursuing God and there's things coming on you and a friend prayed for you and you're still feeling bad. Don't walk by a sick person, man, because when you go pray for them, it's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, again, let me say this, I said it last week. Hypocrisy is wearing a mask. Hypocrisy is play acting. Hypocrisy isn't praying for the sick when you have sickness in your body. Because people use that word all the time. They say, well, that would make me feel like a hypocrite. Why? You're saying, look, I know it's not been my experience, but the word's way above my experience, and I haven't felt healing in my body yet, but God said He loves us and heals us, and I believe it, and that's why I'm praying for you, and this thing is going to happen. Do you get what I'm saying? Or you're just going to, you know, sell short and say, well, I feel like a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a play actor. It's saying one thing and meaning another. It's saying I love you and not loving you at all. It's just fitting in. It's playing a part to get something to whatever. Hypocrisy isn't you praying for the sick if you're struggling with sickness. That's actually faith in saying, you know what, I believe the Word of God above what I'm experiencing right now, and none of this is going to eat my lunch because Jesus is Lord and I'm pressing in. Do you get what we're saying? So you pray for the sick. Even if you have sickness. But if you have a situation like this, the greatest thing you can do, if you have an ongoing symptom, an ongoing sickness, if you're going through, just say you have a ruptured disc and friends have been praying for you and it really hurts and you get up in the morning and it's just hard to get by and you got a pulsating pain, and here's the temptation. Your mind wants to get hit by a thousand questions. Well, why ain't I healed? Well, why is this happening? Well, if God, then how come and why? And none of that builds you in relationship. None of that takes the ruptured disc away. It just struggles your mind, confuses your head, and troubles your heart. You're rooted and grounded in love. Okay? I tell some testimonies of a few things I've been through. I've only been through a few things, and they've been serious, and they tried to eat my lunch for a little. And if I didn't have what I'm telling you down and understood, I would have scrambled, groped, grabbed, struggled, and sold out my identity four or five times along the way. You know what I'm saying? No, you're rooted and grounded in love. Bottom line is, God loves me, period. We've settled that because He died on the cross. His love is not challenged and questioned because I'm going through an experience in my flesh. His love shouldn't be challenged by that. That's not the question. Well, if God loves me, how come I'm still going through this? Please throw away the right to even ask that question. If God didn't love you, He'd have never put Jesus on the cross. We're in a spiritual war. We're growing. We're learning. We're getting healed and saved and set free, even in our soul, our mind, and our emotions. And that's where the battle is anyway. There's two places I could show you in the Bible, and we might cover it, where it talks about the salvation of your soul. Well, your spirit's saved and born again, but your soul, your mind, and your emotions is what's being redeemed from the fall as you grow up in Christ. You're starting to think like God thinks, feel like God feels. Well, that's got to be awesome, right? See the salvation of your soul, because you attempt to get in to throw in to get little things of fear, little things of self-consciousness, little things of just, oh my, and seeing things for the flesh, for the natural. Who knows, that's the way we were trained our whole life to live. So the salvation of your soul is always coupled. The two times that the phrase is specifically mentioned, it's in Hebrews 10, end of the chapter, and it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, about verse 9. Both times the specific phrase salvation of your soul is used, it has to do with believing and stepping forward. Why? Because you're not living by what you see. You're not living central, like we covered all last week. You're living by faith. And the end result of your faith, 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's verse 9, the end result of your faith is the salvation of your soul. So the consummation, the finished work of your faith is the healing, delivering, setting free, and making whole of your mind and emotions. Well, isn't that the thing that goes bonkers on people? Right? That's what we do. That's not faith. You see what I mean? So here's the deal. So you have a condition, a physical condition, and it's ongoing. And a week goes by, and now it's 2 weeks, and your mind says, well, it's 2 weeks. This is natural knowledge. This is human reasoning. I don't suggest you live there. 2 weeks goes by, and the easiest thing to think is, well, it's 2 weeks. If I was doing things right, this would be going by now, and I wonder what, and I must be, and then you start groping and going down all these roads and looking for answers. And I just promise you, receiving the love of God and being rooted and grounded in love and not letting your heart and mind shift and switch is the greatest thing you can do. You wake up, and even if that pain, I've been through this a few times. I don't have to get into the stories where I literally thought I was going to die. And I had people, the best thing that most people could say to me was, yeah, but Dan, this don't make sense. If you understand righteousness, how come it's touching you in the first place? So it's this contradictory question that's not even producing life. It's more of a contest. Yeah. And we reserve the right in human intellect to even ask those questions. Are you kidding? I don't know. I can't even answer that question. I just know I'm in a war and Jesus is Lord and He loves me and lives in my spirit and my flesh is going to say yes, sir, in a minute here.
Amen. There you go.
You see, that's all I can tell you. I don't have any other answers. Like Pastor was preaching yesterday. He says, yep. There's times, you know, you can't answer. People say, well, this and this. Yep. You know? So that's, I can't answer that. But I know when I wake up and I can't walk or I'm in so much pain, that I never give that the right to decide and determine who God is. I always let who God is have the right to determine this. By staying here and receiving love. And Father, You love me. Pain in your body. Father, I thank You. Your blood sugar not lined up and symptoms of diabetes, eyesight failing a little bit, some neuropathy and all those feelings in your flesh. And you've been prayed for by a bunch of people that you know are spirit-filled and all of a sudden nothing's changed. Your mind tends to say, boy, if God wanted to heal me, He'd heal me by now. That's what the church does. Then we create theology based on what is and isn't happening. And now we answer the thing. And write a new book. Or all kinds of stuff. Or, well, if you had faith, honey, you'd be healed by now. Well, you need to go clean up. You must have some garbage in your life or something. I know a lady called my house crying one time, filled with Holy Spirit, parked along the road in a van in North Carolina, crying, praying in tongues, called me on the phone, overwhelmed, trying to talk, and she's crying, and she had the number. That's when my dear friend Dr. John was handing out all those CDs with my phone number on. She's in North Carolina driving in a van, and somebody handed her the CD, and she had it in, and she didn't read really. She just popped it in. She's hurting. She's kind of disheartened. Not kind of, she is disheartened. She's been in a church 3 years, and they told her, when you get yourself right and clean and you become a clean vessel, you can receive Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to pray in tongues. So for 3 years, she hasn't prayed in tongues. They prayed over her, and now the more time goes by, the dirtier she feels. Well, I must be a real dirty vessel. Well, if I ain't got clean by now, there's something wrong. I got a lot of stain in my life. He disdains me. I got so much stain. He doesn't even come sit in me. You know, she's driving the van. She starts hearing how she's loved. She's hearing a CD. It's a righteousness CD. It's where I was pulling all the pedals. He loves me, loves me, loves me. She's like, oh my God, You do love me. Because she wants to believe that. But she's being told that if she was lovable, He'd be in her and she'd be filled with the Spirit and all that. And see, it's just misteaching, but it cripples people's identity. So she lost 3 years in wrong identity, feeling the more she went to church, the more dirty she felt. That's a tragedy. She's listening to one CD on a back road in Carolinas, north or south, I don't remember where. I just know she was crying and it was fun and I was home and I heard her there crying on my machine. I picked up and I didn't know at first if she was even okay, and I realized she was very okay. But she was, here's what happened. She's driving in the van. It's faith. It's not intellect. It's heart. She said, oh my God, You do love me. There's nothing wrong with me. Well, I was yet a sinner. You've loved me. Spirit of God, just. But what happened? Her soul got free. She said, none of this is the thing going on. What was happening? She just, You love me. I'm special to You. I'm worth the blood of Jesus to You, God the Father. You see something so valuable in me. That's what Christians don't do. They wait to prove that or something. Jesus proved that. Do you get what I'm saying? Sickness is the same way. You start identifying with the thing that's not quite in line or in order, and it starts marking you. And that's your biggest challenge when you're going through something like that, because it wants to try to get in. And that's why we really got to get free from self-consciousness, self-centeredness stuff. Even though this thing is real, I'm not talking insensitive now, bear with me. Even though this thing is real, you have to be careful to not let it become who you are, because who you are is in Christ, period. So that's your fighting point. You wake up in the morning, Father, I'm in you, you love me. I'm telling you, you'd have numb fingertips and neuropathy in your toes. Father, you love me, and I am blessed, and your Spirit is upon me. Father, your favor's towards me. And I just thank you for the blessing of this gospel upon my flesh. Thank you for life in my body. Father, I know that my life's worth living, that your mark is upon me. You love me, because the blood of Jesus was shed. And you just keep going like this. You love me. You see what I mean? Because as time goes on, this thing, oh, yeah, but. No, I'm telling you, all we know is this. We're growing up into Him in all things, and all these other things are going to iron out and make sense. We're not going to look back. We're not going to draw back. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not you don't have enough faith or you're doing something wrong. We got to hit it. Because if there's a thing like that that would seem to be empowering this thing, if I'm doing this in relationship and He loves me and I'm growing in that, who knows, as a father, He's going to nurture me and open that up. And honestly, it's funny, these thoughts were on me coming down the Eastburn Road to pick up Destiny this morning. I was like, you know, we give that stuff so much power, and we're saved by grace through faith. And the best we know, our hearts are sincere and we love God and want to do right. We're not subject to all this craziness. Like people think, there's not some crazy thing behind the scenes binding up our life when I'm sincere like a child and just want Jesus. Yeah. I just want Jesus. And now you're making it really difficult in your theology thinking that all these other glitches are in the way. No, I just want Jesus. And I'm not going to let any rational mindset keep me from Him. So I don't have a grid for all that stuff having power and being in the way. I really don't. You're not going to stop this thing now. He's come and I'm here. Yay. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just not that technical and difficult. But if you believe it is, you're going to get weird and mystical on some thinking that doesn't. When I say weird, I'm not being insulted. What I mean is outside of simplicity, complex is a better word. You're going to stretch truth outside the parameters of truth and start making things have power. I believe that. You have what you believe in the gospel. If it's simple, if it's simplicity, if it's simplicity, this is not going to be deep. Then it's simple. See, I didn't have to go to seminary for that one. Come on. I'm concerned for you that like Eve was deceived by the serpent, you too have been removed from the simplicity that's in Christ. This thing is simple. I was lost. He came. He died. Set me free. Put all that He is in me. Gave me His kingdom. Yay, I'm free. I'm out of darkness, into light, sanctified, kingdom of the Son of His love. I was lost. I'm found. I had no covenant. Now I do. God was estranged. Now I'm not. Yay, I'm in. I was guilty. I was all that stuff. And now I'm free. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. That's in Colossians. Yeah, I would ringtone that one too. Yeah, I'm delivered from the, her phone couldn't even take it. You ought to get it. Her phone went, yeah. Serious. Come on. Are we believing?
Yes.
Or are we feeling? See? I have been delivered. I'm telling you. Oh, do you see how passionate this is in me? I'm trying to play a chord. It doesn't last long. There is so much talk about deliverance and needing delivered and needing delivered. It's because we don't believe we are. And then everything that we're afraid of and vulnerable to says, ah, and grabs you and chokes you and holds you. You're, okay, this is going to sound arrogant. You're not choking me. You're not holding me. You don't even have a right to me. I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I'm righteous. My heart is pure. Now if I violate my conscience, I start living in secret sin. I look in the mirror and see less than Christ sees. Then I start feeling all this stuff, believing all this stuff, and stuff will eat my lunch. You're not coming and eating my lunch. You're not even sitting with me at the table. Now, I've been talking like this for 16 years. If I was on a tangent, I'd have been crushed a long time ago. And all I know is I'm more passionate than ever before. Because the more I'm around, the more I see and understand that a lot of times we don't seem to see and understand. Jesus finished the work. And I am delivered. And I promise you this. If you alone, when you're all alone, would start declaring that deliverance and thanking God that His Spirit in you is enough and you're free. And no matter what door you opened, no matter who opened what, no matter said what, did what, if I'm forgiven, I'm free. If it's removed and forgotten, it can't bite me. It has no voice. It has no authority. In fact, you've given me all authority in the power of your name over all the power of the devil. He is not my issue. Growing in you is my issue and receiving your love and saying, thank you for life. Is my issue. You see what I'm saying? But see, I'm being straight. We're not believing. We're feeling. Yeah, but it doesn't. Yeah, but brother, I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't seem that way to me. That's living by the, that's carnal. And then we cater that and we take you into something else and try to help you some other way than the truth that makes you free. Because if you continue, do you hear it? If you continue, yes, in my word, not your feelings, not somebody's idea, not another person's experience, that's a big one. Yes. But if you continue in my word, continue in my word, continue in my word, you, yes, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. See, that's what's wrong with me right now. Serious. It's overwhelming me. The truth's made me free. More passionate, you can call it anything you want. You could say I'm contentious right now, dogmatic. You could say I just need to be right. You're wrong. It's the truth. And I'm not going to sell so cheap when feelings are a dime a dozen. I'm not going to sell cheap. I've been purchased with a price. And I'm not even my own. Old things are passed away. Behold, power of God. Behold, all things. Well, we don't sure don't feel new, brother. See, that's our response. Well, I don't seem free. Well, I don't know. Pray for me. That's what we do. And then because we love each other, we pray for each other, but we don't pray in the light of this truth. We pray, come and help. And God's saying, I've done everything. You got to believe, because if you don't believe, you're going to be ruled by feelings and seem and sensual and intellect. Still going to rule, and the way that seems right to man is going to be laced all through this amazing life-giving gospel. And it's going to sell it short. The way that seems right, but it doesn't produce life. And then we debate over this stuff and we hold up each other's testimonies and experiences. Yeah, but I this, and I struggled for years and I didn't realize this. And then finally one day I realized this thing had me all a while. I promise you, you get alone with God. You get alone with God and close the bedroom door. Man, I challenge everybody in this room, everybody listening, you get alone, you close the door, and by faith you start lifting your hands when nobody's looking and say, you have made me free. You have saved my life, and you're showing me what that means. Holy Spirit, I welcome you because you made me fit to live inside of, and you have come to make your home in me. I am yours, and you are mine, and you love me with unfailing love. I have been delivered from life, from the world, from the devil and the flesh. I am yours. You get real and you start talking like that with a door closed, and then you slide to your knees and find tears start rolling down your face because the love of God's there and revelations are coming, and you come out of the room and you're like, oh my goodness. I've done it so many times. I come out of the room and I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm like, this thing is so real. the gospel's so real. And then people all along the way, well, you're really different. You're an enigma. You're just, God put a special grace in your life, a special gift in your life. I'm saying, no, no, no. He doesn't have me standing here. If he has, either this is something we're doing in this school. It's one or the other. Either this is something we're doing because we think it's a good idea, or Jesus has me standing here. It's one or the other. But if Jesus has me standing here, and if you're here because you believe that, because I don't believe you're here because you believe we're just doing something we think is a good idea. So if Jesus has me standing here, does he have me standing here to teach something that you can't have? Then is it a special gift of grace? Is it just simply walking in truth? And maybe we've had a hard time defining truth because we've been very sensual and intellectual. We've used our heads more than our hearts. But the heart of man believes, not his head. You have to be very, very careful. Last week we hit it so much, the sensual and the faith thing. And here I am just feeling so passionate in that realm again. I don't believe the greater body of Christ has, when they're all alone, gotten in communion with God and declared their freedom, their salvation, and their deliverance. I believe we've called each other asking for prayer because we feel like we need delivered. And we're living sensual. And I'm not bashing deliverance ministry right now. There's a place where I've seen people delivered. I've seen things manifest, things happen. There's story after story. But I didn't get to all those experiences chasing after and believing everybody has to have their hidden issue. Those things just happen and Holy Spirit's there. But I know one thing, when I get alone with Him, and I'm convinced of this, I can't prove this, but I believe when you do that, if there is things that aren't clear in you, I believe the mercy of God will slip them out of you without you even knowing it. Because He doesn't want the hurdles on your track of identity. You don't even need to know that stuff. You just need to know He's good, He's more than enough, and His love never fails, and He's amazing and you're amazing in Him, period. All that other stuff, why do you even need to know that? Just come on. Because now we have in the thing, well, you're saved, but you need delivered. You can't even find that scripturally. Well, you're saved, but now you need delivered. That's a phrase in the church that I hear all the time. You show me where Jesus said that you're saved and not delivered. The salvation of the Lord is all-inclusive. It means saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole. Sounds like you're delivered and kept safe and sound. Well, it's good they got saved, brother, but now we got to get them delivered. See, there's a vulnerability that sneaks in, and all of a sudden we believe everybody has to have their closets. You believe everybody has to have a hook in you. Then I am an enigma, if that's true. And you say, well, Dan, you're exalting your experience above others. No, I'm exalting faith and the revelation of knowing that God can make you free. If you think I'm exalting my experience above others, I just won't accommodate you if you say, well, I can't believe that. Yes, you're called to that, and every man's been given a measure of faith. Don't say, well, Dan, I can't believe what you're saying because I feel this. I won't come up with a way to help you. I will just keep preaching the gospel to you, and you either get frustrated and walk away, or you'll begin to believe and feel free. Serious. It's one or the other. I'm not going to accommodate that. To just live by what? To just live by faith. I've had lots of people say, Dan, what you're preaching is fine, but not everybody. You have to. I've had some pretty popular named ministers tell me this. But you have to understand, not everybody can believe what you're preaching. I said, well, that's a shame, because that's what Jesus preached. And He called us to faith. And He said, those that believe shall be sozoed, healed, delivered, protected, and preserved. So faith, believing Him and my heart being clean and pure and surrendered, brings me into freedom. All of a sudden, everything that was keeping Him from me is out of my heart now and out of my life. So now He comes on me. Do you get it? Come on. You're looking at a guy right now that got surrendered at night at work, surrendered, saw the grossness of my sin, woke up in the morning praying in tongues, was aware in the next 15 minutes of my twisted definition of sexuality and manhood, kneeled crying, saying it was a curse and you didn't make me this way. Holy Spirit breathing on me, setting me free forever, and then walking in Christ ever since that. And I don't know of one time looking back. but he taught me faith in that place. Do you get what I'm saying? And people do it to this day. They do it to this day. They haven't talked to me for years, but they'll call me out of the blue for prayer because they know who I'm going to be. They know who I am. But that's normal. That's you call on Jesus. That's you know where he is. You know who he's going to be. If he said, follow me, and Christ is in us, that same consistency, that same revelation, the light coming on, in his light, we see light. The with his word is the entranceway of light, that we can know, can't we? We can forever know and be free. Is that possible? Is that true? Now watch this. If you don't believe that's true, that's probably the reason it seems this way. That's how serious faith is. That's how serious it is to get along with God by faith and just say what he's saying and say yes to every yes that he says. You see what I'm saying? So this young girl, Mandy, I got into all this. This is all coming out of this one question, which is awesome. So when you're suffering like this from a sickness, a disease, you can't let that encroach on and overtake who you are, even though there's viable, real, and serious symptoms. Who knows that some diseases have a lot of complications when we don't see healing manifested. So it's not time to criticize healing. It's time to keep growing in love. Thank God he loves us. And when I was in one witchcraft thing, and it was the third one in a row that I felt like I was dying and thought I was dying in my mind, I thought, you can't endure this pain. It feels like you're passing out. It feels like you're dying. I remember smiling in my heart. It was so beautiful. And it came out of my mouth. And I said, Jesus, I'm not even sure what's going on, but I know this isn't your will for me. I know this isn't you, but I'm just letting you know I love you. You're amazing. And my life is yours. And not that I am giving up, but even if I would take my last breath, I will take it saying, Jesus is Lord. There wasn't an ounce of fear. I wasn't thinking, oh my God, I can't die. It wasn't anything like that. It was just this way. And it was amazing how that all worked out. And it was so dramatic and so incredible. And I don't have time to go into it, but it was amazing. You think I get excited when I preach? You've never seen me like I get. If there was any time on tape that I ever said anything that I wish was on tape, it was those 10 minutes after that happened. Because the Spirit of God came and delivered me, and my ceiling opened up. And there was a crystal waterfall coming out of it, pouring over me. It's the second time I've seen it in my life. The one time was in a hospital room when I watched a porno lady and take a brain tumor out of her head. But I don't teach on that stuff, because then we think if we don't see that, we're not going to... And the manifestation's what gives us faith. So I don't teach on that stuff. Some people think, well, he's not this and that. You'd be amazed what I've experienced. I just don't talk about it because we have such need for tangibility that we run after that stuff instead of run after him. You follow me?
Yes.
You have no idea how concerned I am about that topic. Ugh. But this hole opened in my ceiling, and this crystal waterfall poured over my head. And this was the third time in witchcraft in a row. And the Spirit of God poured over me, splashing all over me, and pushed me to the floor. And I'm just moaning. And it was amazing. I want to say unbelievable, even though I was there. It was that incredible. It's the way we'd kind of describe something that's hard to grasp. And that was all sovereign mercy. That was all God. I stood up off the floor. I was so free. I was such a warrior in my heart. I was so not afraid. I was so convinced and so sure. And it was like everything the devil was doing to destroy me worked to form Christ in me so much more than he was ever formed in me before. And if I don't understand that, the third time, I'm thinking, third time, what's going on? I feel like a pincushion. What am I doing wrong? Well, if I wasn't doing something wrong, this wouldn't happen again, and he wouldn't have the ability, and da, 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 da. And now I'm natural wisdom talking myself right into a mess. Look, I don't have the answers for this, but I know one thing. He loves me. He's for me. He paid the amazing price. His Spirit's in me. We're not looking back. We're not looking down. We're looking up from whence comes our help, and we're going to win, period. Look, in my mind, I'm not expecting to die, and I'm not expecting this thing to take me out. But even if I lose breath and don't get off the floor, I still haven't lost. But that's not, I don't want to open that door too big to where people just concede to death, because I think it's all about life and living and running your journey and leaving a legacy and not getting taken out by something that's not God. I'm not talking about just yielding, oh, well, you can't kill me anyway, and then giving up. I'm not talking about that. So I stood there, and I remember I lifted my hands and I began to preach the glory of Christ and the finished work of Christ out of my spirit after this waterfall poured on me. It was amazing. I was pretty passionate for about 10 minutes in my house. And you know what I did after that? Don't you hear this wrong and hear this condemning or judgmental. I'm just around a lot of folks, and I've been privileged to be in a certain capacity of ministry for a long time. See, I feel emotional. Can you tell I could cry right now? I laid on my bed for an hour and a half and cried uncontrollably because of the extreme of this. And I'm around so many people, and it wasn't a haughty, proud thing, because I'm learning as I go. And I'm laying on my bed, and I'm crying, and I kept saying, Lord, are we even ready for this kind of assault warfare strategy? Do we understand, know you enough, and receive? Are we even ready for this kind of strategy? Do we even understand? I was just crying as a church at large, because it was so intense in the physical, in the flesh. But I was so okay in my heart with right understanding. We get our eyes on how intense it is. And because we're not built up here, we're way behind here. Then this begins to be way bigger than we've grown in understanding. And that's a troubled time. You see what I mean? So in a situation like Mandy's writing about, no matter what it is in your life, don't ever let what's not measuring up to truth identify you, dishearten you, discourage you. In fact, if anything, you seek God all the more because you know this is not who you are. And you receive His love constantly. You get it? Okay. Now I want you to begin to pray for Mandy. I'm going to look into this camera. I'm going to pray for Mandy that diabetes get out of her body, that her pancreas work, okay? And I'm believing the Spirit of grace is going to come upon this young girl. Mandy, in the name of Jesus, I speak life over you. I command diabetes to get out of your body. Let her go. Pancreas, you work. You function. Holy Spirit, thank you. Come right now and flow right through this woman. Blood, you line up your sugars and insulin. Be normal and properly produced. Diabetes, leave the body. Every symptom, every trace, Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, Mandy, you are loved by God. You are precious. You are worth every drop of the blood of Jesus Christ. Spirit of God, thank you for healing, restoring, and securing a precious woman of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, good deal. You guys all right with me doing a couple of these questions, like, because they kind of help us corporately? Okay, good. Good, good, good. This one, I'm not going to go into detail because of the personal stuff on it, but it's from Susan. Susan, you'll know who you are. It's about your young son and the child care thing. But here's the situation Susan has. She believes somebody's doing something knowingly that's not right, but she hears we're called to love and make peace and all this stuff, but it's at the expense of another human being, and she felt like it was... My concern first to Susan would be that... you have to be sure you know something's intentional. That's a touchy one right there. To just assume they know what they're doing. You always believe the best. If it's a competency thing, say you're in the medical field and you're not competent enough and you're treating a patient and you don't have the knowledge and you're mistreating the patient, that's serious. So somebody just needs to intervene. Hey, it's not degrading the person. Look, if you don't have the competency, if you're not doing it right, we're not just going to, oh, bless the Lord, praise God, God just loves her, and do it at the expense of the patient. No, somebody needs to intervene and say, hey, you know, you don't really understand your dosage here. You don't understand what you're doing, it doesn't seem, because this amount isn't correct and you've done it more than once. And if they say, oh my gosh, or they, you have to give them, that's how we grow. We get educated. And then, because to just say it's intentional is touchy. Now, I don't know, Susan believed this situation could be intentional. So that's a paradox. If it's intentional and it's the welfare of a child at stake and all that, just need to address it. It's not a lack of love to address that. It's not judging a person. It's for the sake of a person. So if there's a competency thing, address it. My thought in the medical field certainly would be give more education and give the person every chance to do right. You see what I mean? And you monitor the situation and you make sure the right dosage is given and that they learn and do right. If you're thinking it's intentional, say we have a situation, we have a mutual friend and there's somebody caretaking and it's an intentional situation and we realize that it's to the detriment of the person that they're caring for, we would simply make a decision. We have the wrong caretaker. For some reason, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that's not a lack of love to have that addressed, have them removed, or have somebody in there that's going to take proper care. You can do that without letting your heart get hateful and angry and hurtful. You see what I mean? See, we're just so used to, in those situations, getting overtaken by it and becoming a product of the wrong, that we think to address it is what we're teaching, that you can't ever address stuff. Who knows, there's times you have to discipline children. Who knows, there's times you have to discipline or correct people in church in your relationships. Who knows, leadership has to address things within the congregation. The key is that when you address things like that to keep it in uprightness, you don't do it from a heart that's offended, hurt, or rubbed wrong. Because there's no grace on that. That'll only go as far as flesh can take it, and it usually creates a mess. But you don't just line up your children to truth because you've had enough. And because they ought to know better by now. And because they've rubbed you so wrong that now you're like, oh, you should know better. You know. And then you discipline out of frustration and anger. No, we're growing to a capacity of love where even when I have to discipline, I have to know that it's coming out of my heart for the sake of the person, for their sake, for the long run. But there's times I'm mandated to do certain things as a parent, as a pastor, right? I have to make certain calls. I have to know that the why is clean and clear. In this one, by no means, if there's an intentional thing, would I say to let the situation continue. You have to address it. She, bless her heart, she said, I believe God showed me this and revealed it to me because he knows at this point I would deal with it in mercy. That's a good deal. Dealing with it in mercy is just not dealing with it in the flesh. Amen? So I would say address that by all means and keep the well-being of your son intact. This is a simple one. I'm going to address this one. We're not going to do that one. Bless her. This is Natalie. And she said she's very young in the Lord. She's doing this school. And she's realizing how much God loves her. She's watching. She has a little thing here. I won't read it. But she had a question. She said, please don't think my questions are, silly because I don't know that much. I'm in the school to learn and I got a lot to learn. She said, you said that the same spirit. Listen to this question. It's amazing how people are thinking. This is something. Oh, this could be a whole class right here. Natalie, you got me excited. She said, you said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. What spirit is that? So, that's not a bad question. In other words, she's thinking, is there a specific spirit that was assigned to raise Jesus, etc.? He's simply talking the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord. He raised Christ from the dead. He lives in us. And how much more, if he lives in us, will he what? Quicken our mortal bodies. So now watch her next question. She said, you said that spirit lives in us. What spirit is that? That's the Spirit of the Lord, Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, right? So he lives in us. And I always preach this. I say, why does he live in us? Why does the same spirit that raised Christ live in us so we can do the same thing? Well, look at her next thought. Well, if Christ could do all these things on the earth, why should I be able to do the same? Isn't that what makes him stand out? See, that's a common thought, that Jesus came to reveal his deity and he came and that he's... See, Jesus on the earth in the flesh, Jesus modeling a life that we're created to live, he said, follow me. Catch this, Natalie. This is awesome. Guys, get this. You guys, a lot of you guys know this, but watch. He didn't say, follow me if I couldn't. He modeled a life that I'm created to live and gave me the same spirit that lives in him, right? Or that raised him from the dead to live in me, right? So Jesus on the earth doesn't want to stand out. He's showing you what you're created for. He's showing you what Adam was made to walk in and live and be, right? And he's the last Adam. And he fulfilled what Adam failed, and now he put his spirit back inside of all of us and said, follow me. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. See, it all goes back to believing. And more. And that's why our identity is so huge, because self-consciousness, fear, vulnerability, frustration, all these things that get moved out of us as we keep our eyes on him and keep growing. We're growing up into him in all things. So don't fret. Don't get intellectual. Don't say, well, God said he'd do all things and heal, and I ain't seen. And then we get intellectual and we stop growing. We stop growing. Come on. If you plant a seed in a little pot, do you plant the seed and it just goes? Is that what happens? If that would happen, you would freak out. Okay. So you put a peach seed in the ground, and you're going to start this peach tree, and it's this kind and this kind, and it's a good Cannon kind, or let's just say it's a Sun High or a Red Haven or one of these peaches, and you pop it in the ground, and you're like, oh God, I thank you. You know, I'm going to get peaches, and you pop it in, and it just, whoa. See, that would be cool. But here's what you do. You plant that thing, fertilize it. You make sure conditions are right. It's getting sun. It's getting water. And what's it doing? It's growing. It's like a seed. When you sow the seed, it grows. And when it grows up into this big mature tree. And everything comes to find shade. And that's awesome. Enjoy that. Don't stop that. Enjoy growing. Don't get so, think you're so zealous and that makes you so, you know, zeal can be good, but without knowledge, but I need to see it now. I don't know why, but I just, I've seen people do that. There's sick people everywhere. I just need to see them healed now. They're all over. Stop. As much as you're shaking and talking, you could have went out and just prayed for at least one by now. Just take your time. Just go pray for one. Start somewhere. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to keep this thing simplistic to just derail some of this stuff that seems to have an appearance of wisdom, and it doesn't. Look, we have all these promises. If we believe the things he does and did, we can do if we believe. So what are we growing in? We're growing in believing and understanding. We're growing in a revelation of Christ. That's why communion and union is so important, because it's going to branch out and affect every area of our life, like the manifestation of love, the manifestation of power, the working of miracles, right? Even the prophetic stuff in our lives. A lot of us, we want prophetic because, above all, man, everybody, we want you to all prophesy. So we're like, oh. And I'll tell you what, you just let your heart begin to be one with God. And you'll start hearing so clear, and God can tell himself anything. Right? So it's not, I need a word. No, you're sincere. Watch this. Watch this. So if I meet Becky and I'm going to pray for her, and I just need to manifest Christ. I'm trying to hear a word. No, I just need to be sincere and see God's love for her. Period. And just what happens, happens and flow, and just pray and whatever. But you'd be amazed. Like, we have to do it in a form and a way and a style. There was a friend, he's a close friend of mine. I don't mention his name. But he knew me for a while, and he came up and he said, you hear God a lot more when you're praying for people than you indicate. You kind of cover up prophecy. Why do you cover up prophecy? I said, because people are crazed over it. And I said, so I cover it up and I tie it into my prayer and I camouflage it completely. He said, I just realized you do that. I said, I've been doing it for years. I do it on purpose because of where a lot of us are. Because if you start doing it and it's not undercover, then all the needs is now you got this long line and everybody just wants a word. Or everybody's coming up, well, listen, I just want you to pray for me, whatever God says. Go seek him, close the door and say, I. A lot of times that's what he's saying. Yeah. Seek me and you'll find me. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. When you pray, close your door. And when you're in the secret, I'll see you there. I'll meet you there and I'll reward you in the open. Boy, I think he's saying that. I could find all that in the Word. Come unto me, all you who labor, heavy laden. Come unto me. Doesn't mean go to a service. Come to me. Yeah. And we can go to service to get directed to him, hopefully. Come unto me. Right? And who's going to give you rest? He said, I will. Oh, do you get that? Come on, that's intimate. Makes me feel fuzzy. See, feelings can be okay. They're fun. You just don't live by them. Fuzzy ones are good. So, if Christ did all these things, why should I be able to do the same? Isn't that what makes him stand out? He wants us to stand out. Natalie, he wants you to stand out as Christ in you. Colossians says, Paul went preaching everywhere till Christ in us is formed. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So the Christ that's inside of me, glory, the manifest attribute of God, the manifestation of God, the Christ in me is the hope of manifesting God. So why is he in me? So I can look like him, so I can do what he did. So he doesn't want to stand out in his earthly ministry and us say, well, that was Jesus. He's firstborn among many. Okay? And this last thought, she said, I've been listening to Power and Love, and I asked a friend about healing. She put bad idea. She brought up Paul right away and said he tried to get healed 3 times and he wasn't. And if this is in the Bible, then why? And I'm not going to get long on that because that one's a big door that we'll hit somewhere along the line. But just so you know, people bring that up all the time. Just so you know, and you can study this out, class, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to Natalie, for your own sake. When you read about Paul's thorn, it's one of the biggest stumbling blocks on healing in the church, that Paul wasn't healed. If you look at the chapter leading up to when he's talking about that situation, he's talking about all the sufferings and persecutions of ministry and life in Christ. If you study out the wordage, even when he uses infirmity, it's not even the word that sickness, it's human weakness, it's weakness of flesh. He even interchanges when God translated and had the Bible translated. It's amazing because the Holy Spirit's in all this stuff because he's able to guard his word. Who knows? He keeps his word and guards his word. He infirmity and weakness is interchanged right there in that section of Scripture in 2 Corinthians. Infirmity and weakness is interchanged. It's not at one place is it talking about physical sickness. It's talking about persecutions and suffering. And here's the deal. The word answers every question. Questions are not a threat to God. Did he promise healing in the Bible? Did he promise suffering and persecution for living godly? So he promised both of those, right? Paul was asking for God to remove something that he promised he'd experience. I'll show you the things you must suffer for my name. Paul's asking to remove a thing that was promised, and God's not obliged to move the thing that was promised unless he sovereignly chooses to. However, if God wouldn't have promised that, or if he promised healing and Paul was sick, how can he sovereignly choose to override his word? When his word's the integrity of who he is, and it's higher than his name, because you don't have the quality of his name without the integrity of his word. If you raised your children like that, it would be child abuse. If you told your kids one thing, and then they lived up to that, and then you told them, I changed my mind at the last moment, you'd teach them how to what? Never ever take you at your word. So the devil loves when we define God this way and give him the power and say, well, he's God, he can do what he wants that way. Not apart from who he is, the word is God. He's magnified his word above his name. See, the devil loves when we get that loose-ended with sovereignty, that it's even over, the sovereignty's over God's promise. Because then you'll never know what to believe. And you'll never be a person of faith. And every sign's to a believer, so that would be a problem, wouldn't it? Because that would make God fickle and turning and shifting of shadow, and the Bible says he's not. So if God promised healing and Paul was sick and had a revelation and is writing all these things to the church, and then God shifts on him and says, look, I know I promised, but I'm choosing not to heal you. My grace will get you through this one. Yeah, but Lord, you said in your word, look, I know what I said in my word. But who's God, me or you? Chill, I'm God, and one day you'll understand. See, that's, don't you embrace that theology. Because then you can never put your heart into a promise of God. Here's the deal. Paul was asking God to remove something that God already promised he would encounter. And he said, I'm not taking that from you. I already told you this thing was going to press your flesh and you were going to suffer for the things. But just know my grace is greater than what you're feeling right now. Now get up and keep on trucking, boy. My grace is sufficient. And then Paul said, wow. So when I'm feeling weak, I find I'm really strong because I rely and trust on God. Because I know in my own flesh I couldn't do what he's asking me, but he's empowering me. Right? And he gets right up and keeps on trucking. So please don't make Paul's thorn sickness. You'll do injustice to the big picture. It's not sickness. There's nowhere it says it's sickness. In fact, the Bible, honestly, my notes in my Bible says, please don't get debative over this, and nobody really knows what Paul's thorn was. And I'm thinking, man, that is just too soft and gracious of an answer. We can know what his thorn was because of the word. The thorn, it means blow. It says a buffet. That word buffet means blows to the flesh. Look up the word buffet. It means blows to the flesh. I was getting buffeted. I was getting blows to my flesh. I'd go in there with Silas and me and him. We'd go lead people to the Lord, and they'd beat our backs and hang us open raw and then chain us to a prison. I'd go in there, and all of a sudden they were stoning me, and stones were bouncing off my head and off my body. And the brethren came and surrounded me, and I got up, and they beat me with them rods again and again, and I was whipped again and again. And right? Come on, that's blows to the flesh. And after a while, you and I'd be saying, God, you think you can protect me? I mean, I'm trying to get a few souls saved here. Hello? A little bit of covering? Jesus is Lord. Come on, that's Paul's life was pretty intense. But he told him, I'll show you the things I must suffer for. You must suffer for my name's sake. So, yeah, Jesus wants us to do the same things he did. He gave us his spirit. He's another. Natalie, if you'd look in John chapter 14, even 15, 16, read through there and read of the promise of Holy Spirit. It would be beautiful. And you'll see your relationship with Holy Spirit, and we can get on that later in the school maybe. But that whole Paul thing, I just got on that just because I want you guys, you're going to bump into that. You're out in the street praying for somebody. How many people have ever had somebody say, well, you know, Paul had his thorn. This is probably my thorn. And I'm like, well, okay, well, let's just pray anyway. Let's just say it's not and God wants to heal you. Let's just pray. Worst can happen is nothing, and it'll keep poking you. But let's just pray. A lot of times I won't get in because you can tell by the person and their disposition or their way they're talking whether it's going to be a debate or not, and they're going to close the door to let you even pray. I'd rather pray first and get my hands on them because I'm the believer. I'm representing the kingdom. If they don't understand, it doesn't hinder anything. Once God comes, the light can come on. And they say, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Well, let me talk to you. Remember when you said about that thorn? Can we talk? Because now they love you anyway. Right? Because now they're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Now, I had somebody like that get healed, and it troubled me a little until I got over my own thinking. Because we think too much sometimes. They said, well, no, you know, if God heals me, he'll heal me. If it's his will, he'll heal me. I don't need you to pray for me, da, da, da. And I said, well, wonder if, let's just say it is his will and he wants to heal. Well, no, he only heals if it's his will. And I'll just, you know, I've been fine. I'm not even thinking, blah, 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 blah. And I finally got to pray and they got instantly healed. And I said, isn't that cool? And they said, well, it's obviously it was his will and this was his time. So they didn't relate it to faith, believer, priesthood, and all the stuff we're preaching. They just kind of seemed to push it aside and say, well, he did because he wanted to and it was his time. And you know what I mean? And I was like, ah. So I had to get faith. I had to release faith. I had to, when I walked away from that situation, I thought, ew, that is such a bummer mentality. God shows up and does all this cool stuff, and then we write it off and put it into a category, in a box, and just suppress what's really going on. And I was like, Lord, you're just bigger than that. And I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind and heart around that one. And I just blessed the person and asked God to just bless him and reveal himself. And I think it went well then. Okay, you guys ready to roll into some teaching here on? Well, we've been doing that, but I mean, let's open the book. Okay, last week we hit hard, real hard on some righteousness stuff, your identity in Christ, being righteous, your love by God. We covered a lot of stuff last week. We got on a lot of little tangents, didn't we? We kind of like just went here and there and everywhere, didn't we? Yeah, let's just go home. I think we covered a lot. No, I'm still going to camp just a little bit because I didn't get near. I felt like last week went like a blur. I thought the first school I didn't think went real fast, actually. I don't know why. I think there was some schedule challenges with me and some different things going on, but it just seemed like it went longer. Last week seemed like one day or 2 days of school. One day, maybe. It just went like a blur. Who felt that way last week? Just went, because I thought, man, we only got 12 weeks left. So, there is still a couple things in my heart about, I'll tell you what, I was going to go to Hebrews, but let's go to Romans, because we got 12 weeks. what I believe the intent of the Lord is in my heart when I do this stuff and we go to all these scriptures, like we camped in some scriptures last week that you're blameless, you're holy and above reproach, right? If indeed you continue faith, as you received Christ, next chapter, so walk in Him, right? And that's by faith, rooted and grounded, established in the faith. It says, don't let anyone cheat you or hold you captive. That was the time when Olivia read the Amplified, right? We had the Message Bible. There was some intense language there about plundering you and robbing you and man's ideas and the world's ways and the world's wisdom. It says, don't anybody plunder you or take you captive. See to it that that doesn't happen. Strong language, right? We covered all that. And it's not selling you into Christ and identifying you through Christ. If it's any other thing than Christ, it's not the way. See? Now, see, we think that's so, you know, I had a lady come. She was doing her thesis thing for her. She was going to some college. It's in Baltimore, and it was on spirituality, and it was New Agey. It was this. That was one of those. It was kind of like a Unitarian kind of universal peace kind of thing. And she's doing her final thing, and she was on a deadline. And this lady sent her to me and said, "Oh my gosh, you got to go," because she had to do an interview with someone that was seen as spiritual. To finish her final project. And she's on this deadline to turn it in. And she came to me. And I don't know this lady. And I don't know what she believes, what she's doing. And when I asked her what she's doing, she started to describe me in this institute in Baltimore she went to. And even if I remembered her name, I wouldn't say it just because. But she's there. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness. And I said, honey, why me? Why did you pick me? Why? She said, well, so-and-so. And I went, oh, that makes sense. Okay. And there was somebody that I had just gotten to know and was coming to healing services. And this person said, you got to go check this guy out. He is so spiritual. And she said, he is probably the most open-minded man I've ever met. So when she heard open-minded, she's here and I got room for every door. I'm like open for anything. So I'm her man. She's come because she wants me to do the interview because that's her whole thing. And she told me the reason she chose me was that reason. And oh, I chuckled inside. I wish that whole time was on video. It was amazing. Because she's talking about this universal peace and unity and everybody getting along in the same room. All drinking punch together and toasting glasses with all our different gods and all our different beliefs, but yet we all see that, you know, the value and et cetera, which, who knows, I can do that, still see your value. But I said to her, I said, well, honey, I said, that's amazing that she has that impression on me. I said, when it comes to the things of God, I'd like to think I'm as open as I can possibly be. And she's just like, oh, this is going to be so. But I, when it comes to my pursuit of God and my access to Him, I said, I might be as narrow as any man you've ever met. And I went like this, and I said, because I look through a very, very fine eye. And I started talking Jesus to her. And she totally freaked out and manifested. Anger and vile, and you have no idea. And I stayed real calm and smiled, and I said, honey, you see how surface your peace thing is? There's no peace in your heart. You hate me for what I believe. I said, it's so surface, it's so shallow, it's so rosy and mystical, and it's deceived. I said, the reason Jesus came is because of what's spewing out of you right now. Because there's nothing about this God you're proclaiming coming out of you right now. I can't see Him in you. But I said, I can look in the eyes and tell you, I love you, you're precious, you just don't understand. She was so, I never saw somebody so undone. So undone, but there's pride there, she's shuffling her papers. I said, sweetie, do you see why we need salvation? Because of the capacity of a human heart apart from Him. You can talk the talk, but you have no ability to walk this walk. I said, you despise me right now. The more I talk, and she's... It was really serious. And I soft and said, I love you. She wouldn't even talk anymore. She was, and I'm okay with that. I don't have to tackle her and get her to pray some prayer. That to me is such vital. See, that is so awesome. That's just, you love her God, get her God. She walked out the door and I grabbed staff. We prayed and got in a circle. And I just shared a little bit of what was going on. We just prayed for her. And probably wept for her. Just ask God to come. But isn't that cool? Because it's a very narrow way. Confined is the way. Few are those who actually find it. You know what that's a catchy phrase. Few of those who find it. That's the total liberty and freedom through the one way, the way, where their whole identity is surrounded and embraced by Christ and Him alone. And I think there's so many other things that make the way broader than it is. So many other ideas, feelings, motivations. So many other things that identify us and find value in. And our esteem. We don't realize how much our esteem and just our security is hinging on other things. Just people. What people say and don't say is so huge to us that we're driven by it and don't even realize and go to church every week and we're driven by people. Narrow is the way. Confined is the way. And few are those who find it. You know what's cool? You go through that door, it's like, whoa, you can't hardly get through the door. It's so narrow. And you get through and go, poof, poof, and you're in this big wide place. It's like you go through this narrow door, and the psalmist, he said, he set me in a broad place. Well, how do you go through? It's the narrow door. You go through the narrow door, and it's like, poof, the kingdom. Whoa! And it is, well, the idea is probably is that the door is so little and it was so hard to get through, why would you ever try to weasel back out? Why would you have to work to get out? You'd have to try hard to get back through there. Just get through. Oh, did you hear a boom? Oh. Oh. That's kind of how truth is. It makes you free. Amen? Yay. Yeah, the anointing to make you slippy. She's thinking spiritual up here on the front. That's why you need the anointing oil, the oil of God, to get you slippery so you can get through. Yeah, amen. No, that's good. Okay, guys, we got to jump to this, and we're going to be taking a break here soon, aren't we? Man. Are you having fun? It's just good. God's good. Man, remember we hit Romans 5 a little bit last week? I was showing you how, while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son. Isn't that amazing? That for scarcely for a righteous man, verse 7, one would die. But maybe for a good man, one would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love for us while we were still sinners. That means at nature, at heart, at will, right? We were doing that stuff at will. God said, I see better for you. I see you for better. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Come on, it's a big deal. And then He says, much more than having now been justified by His blood, we'll be saved from wrath through Him. For if we were enemies and were reconciled, while enemies to God, through the death of His Son. I love this whole chapter. It's like a much more chapter. If we were enemies and while enemies reconciled to God through the death of Jesus, how much more, having been now made friends, reconciled literally means to be made friends, we shall be saved, sozoed, by His life. You see the redemption and the restoration in that? So while I was yet an enemy and a sinner, and an enemy, alienated, like that scripture in Colossians, alienated by wicked works in my mind, I was an enemy, right? I'm reconciled to God through death. How much more now that I've been made reconciled shall I be saved by His life? Isn't that amazing? So there's a whole lot more than praying that prayer to get saved. There's a redemption of all things, emotions, mindsets, the where you live from. It's a big deal. And redemption comes there. I just want you to see righteousness in this. Not only that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the what? The reconciliation. So do you see that it is a big deal for you to know that God's made you reconciled and friends? Do you see that? In John, He said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. You know why? He said, because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, and I've revealed the will of the Father to you by coming. So He left us in on it, right? So we're not just serving the Lord. We're living through Him, manifesting who He is. Do you get it? We're not living for God. We're living through God. That's 1 John 4. It's a big difference, be living for God and through God. One, you get weary and wonder if you're living good enough. The other's a pretty excited place, and you're already measured up in Christ, and it's just good. Watch. Therefore, we're rejoicing because we have received. So do you see that there's, I'm going to camp here a minute. Do you see there's a place for you to rejoice that you've been made friends with God? Do you know how many countless people have gone to church and haven't even considered that? That they're friends with God, and that they're right with God, and that they're reconciled. God, You made me right with You. You've reconciled. You've come and made peace between You and me. There's no war. And oh my goodness, I didn't see this before, but why wouldn't I want You? Why didn't... Oh God, thanks for illuminating my heart. I'm home.
I'm here. And You're amazing. Thanks for loving me.
Come on. People don't do that. They don't pray like that. I ask around and talk to people when I'm alone with them and ask them if they pray that way. I don't do it publicly because I'm not here to just... Because if I'd go around the room right now and say, who continually just that's a normal way of thinking to you and you just pray that way, or maybe you've tried to pray that way or don't pray that way, you'd be amazed at the response even in this room. That we're not thinking that, let alone giving ourselves to that. Because we're actually thinking doing better, trying a little harder, or we have a hit list of all the things that are wrong that need to spruce up in our life. So when we do get alone with God, we're so self-conscious and we take 20 minutes to get past ourselves, and by then it's time to go out of the room anyway. So we're like kind of covering our misnomers, and it's a wonder You, God, thank You for forgiving me, and it's just all this troubleshooting. Instead of, we rejoice in God that through Jesus we've received reconciliation. Yay, I've been made right with God. Rejoice, I've been made right with God. Okay?
Yes.
Come on, you're rejoicing in that. You're supposed to believe that.
Yes.
The gospel's enough, the blood's enough.
Yes.
Todd was with some men once and he was eating and they wanted to take him to lunch. This was before anybody knew who Todd was. And Jesus knew, but people didn't know. He didn't media. He was just running with me. We were going to meetings together and he was growing and he was, but these men were sitting with him and they asked about his life, his testimony a little. And he started sharing his testimony and he said, he said, oh, I had a terrible upbringing, and they're listening. Because we get into that childhood stuff. And he said, I was raised by the Masons. And he said, when he said I was raised by the Masons, he said, they dropped their silverware. And begin to pray and do all this stuff and speak and pray over him, gestures with their hands and pray. And he's like, guys, what are you doing? You're freaking me out. And they're like, the Masons, don't you understand? And they're like, don't you realize? And it made a real draw on them. The Masons, and I understand their stuff. I understand that. I'm not making light of that, but they're making so much of it that it becomes bigger than God. That when he just speaks Mason, I mean, that's like a worship service. The wrong way. And he's like, guys, and they said, you were, and they said, haven't you ever been through this? Haven't you ever done this? Haven't anyone ever prayed? He said, no. Why? He said, you don't understand what you're dealing with here. This has such strong, powerful roots and such this, that, and you need this and you need that. And he said, guys, stop. You're all freaking me out. Now, this is cool because we didn't have conversations. I wasn't teaching against things to Todd. I'm just teaching him Jesus, finished work, righteousness. I'm just being me and teaching him truth. So when he bumps into this, he doesn't have a grid for it. And he's like, what are you guys doing? And they said, yeah, but you don't understand. And he said, well, no, wait a minute. He said, 2 Corinthians 5 says, I'm a new creature. And they went, yeah, that's what everybody says. That's what you're supposed to say. That's the scriptures. But the reality is, people aren't free. So they're taking the scripture, saying, yeah, I know you're using that scripture, but... And he said, guys, No, look at me. He had the one man look right at him. He said, look at me. Wonder if I really do believe that scripture. And wonder if the blood is enough. And wonder if I am a new creature and it's not ever about looking back. And this is what he was told. Unless you do this one thing, you'll never make it. That's what he was told. And Todd called me troubled and asked me what was going on, and I explained. I said, you'll find that we have gained so much through our experiences instead of his word, that we ride our experiences and everybody's testimonies instead of his word, that we've diminished his word and elevated our experiences. To where now, if you declare his word, you're just hypo-spiritual and you're in denial. Isn't that amazing? And I just shared with him, I said, I think you're okay. He said, I think I am. But I told him this, I said, you'll find that when you're in a service and you share something like the Masons, or if you say something about witchcraft, you'll get a bigger gasp and a bigger response corporately than if you stand and say, Jesus is Lord. And that's a sure sign right there. If you get talking and you say, well, then this person, and I found that they were into this or into that, people go, oh my God, whoa. And they react because that thing means something to us now. That's the devil's plan, that stuff would gain notoriety and gain power in your soul to where you begin to honor it in weird forms. Just fearing it is honoring it. You follow me? And you hear its name and you go, oh my God, and you drop your silverware and you start doing all this stuff. What you're saying is, you're awesome, you're amazing. And if God doesn't intervene right now, we got to get God to come because, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And it's a form of, it's a twisted form of honor. Yeah, I see you. Thank you, honey. You're so good. She is so good. She's getting better and better too as the days go on. She used to just go like this. Now she's doing this. Pretty soon she'll be landing airplanes. She'll have the glow sticks. She'll be like, we love you, Sue. But just a thought, you know, I'm not trying to bash things. I want you to think about what we do from here. And what gives this substantiation is because we have so many stories we can relate to and so many people's experiences. My heart cry is always, who's really believing the word? Who's really alone with God and declaring truth and walking in communion? That's what we're called to do. And Jesus actually says we're free. So if freedom isn't my experience, I need to keep pursuing him because freedom's mine. Do you get what I'm saying? And I don't need to take four stops along the way to get to what he told me. I just need to stay with him, follow him. And along the way, if he needs to help me or Holy Spirit needs to intervene, I was in a counseling session one time and the Lord showed me a 12-year-old boy. These people were in their upper 30s. He showed me a 12-year-old boy on the streets of New York crying, Mommy. Wow, I was sitting there. And I said, why do I see a 12-year-old on the streets of New York crying, Mommy? And the man cried harder than you've probably ever seen a man cry. He couldn't even breathe. His mom was a heroin addict. She took him on the streets of New York and lost him in the crowd, and he never saw her again. They found her dead in an alley. His wife didn't even know the story because he didn't want to dishonor her, and his uncle and aunt raised him and decided to protect the honor of his mother and keep it the family secret. Now, Holy Spirit seemed interested in exposing that and healing him and showing that. So we follow Holy Spirit. We follow the leading of Holy Spirit. If I turn that same working of Holy Spirit into a method of ministry, thinking that everybody has their issue, then I could step out of grace and open doors that he's not even knocking on, let alone opening. Just be careful that you live by faith and you follow Holy Spirit and don't ask him to follow you. You okay? See, we take a gift of Holy Spirit and turn it into a method of ministry. We're probably going to make mistakes. If I'm not seeing that 12-year-old boy on the street in that room, thank God I did. If I'm not, I have to have confidence in my relationship in the Word of God that we have answers for that right here. But Holy Spirit just seemed like he wanted to fix that right there. Because there was so much animosity, and when the wife learned what the husband went through and had no knowledge, mercy rose up. They wouldn't even sit together. She ran across and held him crying. So once that knowledge came to her by the Spirit of God, her heart melted, and she wasn't mad anymore. And once she knew the whole truth, she just ran and held. And it was a beautiful thing. But it was a straight up working of Holy Spirit. And I could tell you a few other stories like that where it had to do with going backwards. So I understand there's a working there. People carry strongholds and things. But Holy Spirit loves people and knows those things. And you have to have confidence in His ministry. Holy Spirit's ministry. And honor this above everything in your life. You follow me? Because the truth is, this is the real you. I found you in here. And you look amazing to the Lord. And I need to convey that to you and trust you're going to see that one day, right? Period. That's what He gave us, His Word. He so loved the world, He gave His Word. Right? Yes. And He came and was made flesh and dwelt among us. Why don't y'all take a break and we'll pick up. Bless you guys. Stretch, say hi to somebody, meet somebody you didn't get to meet yet. Give somebody a good hug or something.